Hi everyone, and welcome to Shit My Pants, a podcast where two complete wimps watch two horror movies a week and talk about how much they ruined their pants. This week, not so ruined.
I did a bit, I'll be honest.
All right, all right.
I did a bit, thanks to Blair Witches.
Yeah, so our big budget slash classic this week, which is very much in the classic and not in the big budget, was...
Probably cost about a fiver to make this.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, I could have made it. I could have made it with about a day's salary.
No. How much did the marshmallows cost?
Yeah. How much did those two cameras cost secondhand? So our classic this week is 1999's The Blair Witch Project. The start of all found footage since. I mean, I know it wasn't the first found footage ever, but it
found
was like...
Found footage, though, that is a term for horror, as in something bad happened at the end, and this footage had to be collected. I can't think of a fucking example before this.
No,
it's a specific thing.
It is quite a specific thing, yeah.
And they've moved it over to, like, sci-fis with Cloverfield and well, all sorts now. There's fucking can't
Paranormal Activity and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of them. I don't want to say this was the absolute original because I don't know
a
fact.
But
it was the one that sort of started off the trend
and used this this medium of a shaky handheld camera, or like they are making a movie. These people, but it is that for some reason Heather is insistent on filming. Her fucking walking.
Yeah, and for, I remembered it as being more annoying that she was still constantly filming and it wasn't called out, but actually it was called
constantly
out.
Constantly called out,
Which made it better, because that is one of my main problems with found footage films, as we found with, like, Paranormal Activity. There's no good reason for you to be filming half the shit that you're filming.
Not at all. No. But the fact they are making a movie, which is obviously, like...
Yeah, they're making a documentary.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's not explained why they're making the documentary, other than Heather really wants to make it.
This myth seems to... I don't know if she has anything to do with this town. Like, is it her hometown or something?
I don't think that was made clear either.
I'd say probably
because,
not.
No, because even then, she was talking to people as if...
She'd never been there, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, it's not Blair, is it? I think there's a part of it called Blair.
Oh, right, okay.
But I can't remember the name of the town. But I think the backstory to the film and the fact that it was all unknown actors at the time really sells it. Because I vaguely remember this was like it came out, and because nobody knew the actors, it was just sort of thought that it was real. And the actors weren't in anything for a while afterwards.
No. I've only ever seen one of them in something else, and Heather is in It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
As Charlie's baby mama.
Yeah.
Thinks he is. I can't think of any other examples of them being... I think, looking at her filmography, she was in a couple of things afterwards.
Right.
The fact that they've used completely unknown, which is obviously probably a budget thing, and they probably didn't know this was going to fucking blow up.
No, I mean...
This was not made with...
I can't imagine they assumed it would, because it was made with no money.
No.
And it was... it's not made in a way that it's like, oh, this is going to be big.
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
Yeah, I mean... just based on the approach, the bare bones approach, it's obviously like a film of necessity. Like, it's been, there's a reason these restrictions are there. But to be fair, it's the way they fucking made it, which I'm sure we'll get to as we go across the film. It's so fucking guerrilla. The way the actors just... No, the directors just fucked with the actors, left them alone in the fucking woods, said film pretty much everything. I don't know if they said make up a reason for the reason you're filming in between necessary shoots. But it was fucking incredible the way they... the tactics they used against these guys to fuck them up and capture it.
So early on,
they're
sort of, they are first talking about how they're going to make this movie, and the Heather and, what's his name, Josh, are the first two, and then they bring in Mike, don't they, I don't know how they found him. I think, did they say it was Craigslist or something?
Something like that, yeah. Sort of want ads thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, putting out an ad on Craigslist for dude to come into the woods with us is a big red flag.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure. They managed to find him, and he brought along sort of audio equipment and stuff as well. They're talking about how they're going to make this movie, and then they're in the car and they're going along to the town, and then they're talking to people, and the cuts between making the documentary and the shots of them just sort of hanging out with each other really reminded me of The Gilbert Show.
Which is
Granddad.
A Morgana reference, Morgana Robinson reference.
Yeah, Morgana Robinson's sketch show.
Niche, very niche.
It's just they
look
just
it
kept,
up if you don't
know. Yeah, please do. It's really good. Yeah. But it's just their cuts between like documentary and then them sort of hanging out. It's almost like Always Sunny, where like they keep making these videos but they don't know how to edit it properly, so it all just kind of gets cut into each other.
Yeah, there's overlaps for sure.
Yeah, where they're like pausing the tape and then like restarting it and filming each other and then thinking they've managed to tape over it but they haven't.
And it does it well because in those moments the characters are getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, two of them are quite familiar but they've got this new guy around and so they're acting all quite reserved and polite. And then,
yeah, but sort of like I think at one point they're like, "Oh, we've got some drinks in," and they're try to relax and get to know each other a bit better because obviously Mike's new to the situation. Exactly. So they're like, "Oh, let's get some drinks." And
it's just
and
interesting in that term, in terms of that, because as they're trying to keep polite and keep themselves reserved in those moments, there are little signifiers of personality traits which end up like. On the end of the first day, you can see it grating on each other. Like, there's little things that are like, just...
Can you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... that's really the thing. Nice. All of that stuff is really magnified and adds to the realism because it's really magnified in those moments.
When they are lost and hopeless.
Because it's all just their personalities, but it's all just like... The most annoying bits are grating on each other.
While you're in a situation like that.
It just makes it feel so real.
Exactly, I caught on to that, I think, at the end of the first night and was like, started remembering things they had said in the hotel room and it was just like, this is way more clever than it needs to be.
They, while talking to some of the townspeople or the random people around, the town near Blair, where the witch was, they learn about a woman called Mary Brown. Mary Brown. Who it had some sort of encounter with the witch. Not a Jada Pinkett Smith type of encounter, but an encounter with the witch when she was much younger. And I think her family might have died out there or something. And she was the only one who came out.
I can't remember that part. I just remember being amazed when I looked up the woman who is Mary Brown in the movie. I was like, this isn't an actress. This is someone the actors are just speaking to.
Oh, really?
That's an actress, though.
Is it?
Yeah. How does someone act that well? Like, that crazy that well? Like, it's obviously reserved crazy, but still, like, just her mannerisms and the way she's talking.
Yeah, she's good. Saying,
fucking incredible.
I thought that whole bit was good. The encounter with the witch, the cameraman was getting far too close to her.
That's the only thing because
the shots of her was like full face in the camera. I'm like, motherfucker, how close are you?
See her behind the scenes like that.
I could see her skin cells. It was so close to her. But that bit I did think was quite good. It's quite a creepy touch. And now that I know that she's an actual actress, she's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean,
she might be down for best performance.
I had seen something where the mum in the beginning of it, with the child. Because I know that was actually real, because I'd seen a behind the scenes about it. And the fact that the toddler was literally trying to shut her mum up from telling this scary story. And it was like they refound them.
It was a good touch. I like that.
Yeah, it was like 15 years later, but the daughter is like 14 and she's just like embarrassed because of how she was acting when she was like two.
You're like two.
You're fine.
Just get over it, love. It's fine.
But it was,
I was a toddler, I was so embarrassing. Yeah, so was everyone. Yeah. We all shit ourselves.
Yeah, I shit myself so many times.
I did think early on though, which one am I supposed to like?
I don't think you're meant to like any of them.
Because Heather's a bit of a penis, and so is Mike. They like, are. Early on. He's condescending. She's just way over the top.
Yeah, I mean, they all eventually try and calm things down.
Yeah, but in the end, Josh is a bit of a knob as well, so...
Well, yeah, exactly. They all start fucking with her. And
yeah, they all just end up being a bit of a dick to each other.
I mean, they are in a bit of a situation.
They definitely are in a situation, but, I mean, they turned on each other so fast.
It was a bit fast.
And so they get to the woods. They're trying to film stuff. They find some rocks, which are, like, mildly creepy. Mm. And then... And then the first night comes, and there's sort of crack. There's like branches cracking outside and stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, they say it's. What do they say it sounds like? Because to me, it sounds like someone's like ripping off branches, like thin branches, because of the sound. But it was an alarming fucking noise.
Yeah,
because it had such a slow rhythm to it. That's not an animal.
No, it's not an animal.
It's too...
it's drudging.
Continuous.
Like, it was just sort of... It was like somebody just... Like, sort of meandering.
I don't know. It was quite a lot slower, like, how I took it anyway. Just it's a lot slower for me. Like, someone is, like, probably got their eye on where they are the entire fucking time. And it's just, like, just slowly ripping stuff off of branches off of trees. Just because... I mean, the whole thing is to fuck with them, otherwise... Well, this is another problem. The problem I have with it is, why is the witch doing all this?
Is it just because they stumbled across it?
Is this how they have to do witchcraft? Like, you're putting hexes out and it's slowly conjuring this spell?
Yeah.
Because eventually they're like...
Yeah, that's a good point. Because obviously they... Like, I think the reason the witch goes after them is... I think Josh fucks around with one of the... piles of rocks
that was already there.
Yeah, that was already there, and he sort of fucked about with it, and that.
Who wouldn't though? If you come across something like that, if you don't know what it is, you're gonna fuck with it.
I mean, she's probably got like spells going on through that, and that's fucked around with her a little bit, and the witch has then gone after them. But
I
don't understand, and which I think is like sort of what you were leaning on, is whenever things like this come up, like they've pissed off the witch, why don't the witch just fucking do them?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Why has it got to take 4 days?
Yeah. if
you're doing a spell like that, you're trying to fuck them over.
Yeah. Like,
just get on with it.
In real world logic, which this is trying to attain, it just doesn't make sense that...
I mean, it's a similar thing to what we said about Halloween. Like,
yeah.
Michael Myers is sort of hanging around and just watching her for a bit and then killing all of her mates. No, if you want to kill her, just fucking do it. It's not like you're trying not to get caught. You're being brazen about that whole thing.
Exactly.
Just do it already.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And I guess, it makes a bit more sense. Maybe you have to lay out these things. I don't know how the witchcraft in this universe... works, but maybe you do have to lay things out. Maybe that is the idea behind it, but it feels like she could do a lot more a lot quicker.
Yeah, just get the fuck on with it, witch. Another problem I have is, and I get this in other films as well, but I don't get the incessant need to say hello into the dark when you think you hear something.
Yeah, as if someone's what
are you expecting to happen?
Hear back, yeah.
Like, surely hearing hello back would be worse.
Yeah, why did I ask?
That would be horrendous. What do you want out of the situation if you're hearing something that may or may not be somebody fucking with you? Why say hello?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Because what exactly... The best that happens there is somebody goes, hello, oh my God, I was so lost, thank God you were there.
Second best is silence. I don't want to hear anything respond.
And the absolute worst is somebody going... hello back. That is awful.
If it's really close but you can't see anything.
No thanks.
That'd be fucking horrible.
Yeah. Already I'm thinking I could have made this scarier. and it could add I think Mike says, oh, it could be a deer. Which to be fair, it absolutely could be a deer.
Could be. But it'd have to be, you know, in sequence, well, in repetition, in a rhythm, smacking itself against things.
I mean,
don't see it happening.
It sounds like things could be on the floor and getting broken, though. It could be branches and getting broken.
They make a hell of a wallop as if they're either falling down or...
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
But
that is straight away, that is, they've told the cast, camp out here.
Yeah.
And shit will happen. And
that was, that's dicking about with them.
Yeah. It's just good stuff.
I mean, it's horrible. No wonder they didn't act much more. They're like, is this what all films are like? Nah.
Only, no.
Nah, only if it's Hitchcock.
Yeah. That was quite Hitchcocky in a way.
Yeah, he will fuck you up.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a dick about it as well. And then, I don't know, it kind of meanders along for a bit after that, doesn't it? I think they're trying to get back, because they need to get back soonish to get the camera back, which I'm assuming they rented, and the audio equipment, which I think they rented.
Yeah, they've done this over... The first night was, well, evening.
Mm.
I know it was the morning, wasn't it? Mm. So it was Saturday morning. So they camp out one night, but even, like, before that...
I mean, they set themselves an extremely tight deadline for a documentary.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know how much they were trying to get. I know they wanted the graveyard, didn't they? They wanted
the, yeah, they were trying to find the graveyard, that's
the main shot they wanted. But
which I think they found reasonably quickly.
I don't know. I think that's what they were after the whole time, wasn't it? It's like, it's just a couple of miles away.
I felt like they found it, but then...
Maybe they did shoot something there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I
think in the morning they were like, oh, let's go back to the graveyard.
Yeah, we knew.
I was like, yeah, that's fine. Eventually I've got to get home, though.
Yeah.
I was like, well, why even join this project if you're going to be, like, moaning about having to go home after 12 hours?
But, like...
Are you in or not? It took you longer to drive here.
The last shot of the car,
yeah,
for me, as they were leaving that, was... It lingers on it for ages, intentionally, obviously, because it's like, this is the last time you'll see this fucking thing. Yeah, that was quite haunting, the way it lingered.
Yeah, I didn't really notice it at the time, but that was good.
Yeah.
Though, they're trying to get back to the car, and they're following the map, and I think Mike might have thrown it away or something.
Yeah.
I don't understand, when you're going off into the wilderness of the woods, wherever the fuck they are, way, way deep into the woods, why you take one compass and one map.
Oh, yeah.
One!
Yeah, one map, yeah.
One compass. They were like, no, I need the compass. Like,
she didn't even know how to read it anyway.
No, I know, but she made out like she did.
I know, but you know, I mean, like, that becomes apparent, like, even to her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, I don't know how to read maps.
Yeah. And yet when Mike throws it away, she's like, oh, my God, you basically killed us. No. I knew how to read that map.
He didn't.
I'm pretty sure you fucking said you didn't.
Mike should not have done that. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, that was mental behaviour. Because even if nobody can read it, don't throw it away.
Speaking of Mike, though. And the first night, I think it is Heather that says, I hear cackling. And he goes, in the morning, I heard cackling. And he goes, I'm glad I was asleep, because if I had heard cackling, I would have shit my pants. Mm. And I was like, welcome to the pod, buddy.
Yeah, was he advertising for us?
Yeah, I would have shit my pants.
I would have shit my pants podcast. Yeah, they definitely needed more than one map, and especially more than one compass. But Mike is a dick for doing that.
I think it was him that said about the trees or whatever it was that was breaking in the first night as well. It wouldn't have been him, he was asleep.
I think the second night is where they hear the kids laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
That is horrible.
Yeah, but it's like...
Especially when you consider... The director was probably doing that to fuck with them.
But in the morning each time, they find new hexes, don't they? The first time, it's just like a hex outside their tent. And the second night, I believe, it's like rock piles.
Mm.
And one of them goes like...
All around the tent.
You're sure they weren't here? And like, what, you don't think we would have fucking noticed that when we camped up? Yeah. Massive piles of rocks.
Oh, it's
quite a feature.
Yeah, where do you want to stick the tent? Well, why don't we put it in that circle of rock formations over there?
Fuck that.
No, I think I'll put it anywhere else, man.
Yeah. Far away from the fucking voodoo shit.
Oh, yeah, well, what about that ritualistic-looking circle of stones? No, thanks.
No,
That sounds like fucking Stonehenge, and I know some naked druid is going to turn up in the night, so I'm good. Sure, it wasn't there before.
I have mentioned,
fucking hell, what a knob you are.
In terms of what knobheads they become to each other, I have written, like, I get the tension in the moment, and you desperately want to assign blame to anyone, but, like, she was ready to snap, and they do just keep goading her and goading her. I know she fucked up. I get that she fucked up, but
you are
not fucking helping, man.
Not at all.
You're not getting anyone out of here by just calling her a cook.
Cook?
A cooler, a cooler, a cooler, a cooler.
Oh, someone's gone into the Dutch a bit early.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
I think at one point when they hear the sound of the kids laughing, and then I think a baby crying.
Fuck that.
Which is really horrible. When they're running around outside, Heather sees something and just screams, "What the fuck is that?"
Okay, you don't see anything.
You can't see anything.
And do you know what that was? I think this is the part I read. It's like one of the directors, like they've gone, I don't know how they knew they were going to run that way. Maybe it was, maybe that was already like choreographed or something. But like they didn't know they were going to be there, like vaguely, because it's nighttime. You don't really need to dress exactly like a witch, but like a witch outline or something, like some fucking pagan shit. And they just stood in the fucking trees, like just in between them. And she just asked, "What the fuck is that?" The way she delivers that fucking line will haunt me.
Yeah, that was chilling.
And don't want to see what it was. Whatever it is, it will fucking ruin it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I that is one thing that I will say for the film in particular. And it's probably budget constraints, but I'm glad it ended up that way.
Yeah.
They don't show the witch. They don't show anything they see. And then obviously there's the sort of ending bit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is left open to your own imagination, and it's so much better than showing something, because whatever you show me will be a disappointment.
The only feature we see, which isn't even of the witch, is something that's clearly conjured, or it's the ghosts of children or whatever that it's taken over time, is when the hands push against the tent.
Yeah,
you see them against the light. That's the only outline of anything we see that's torturing them.
Yeah,
which is crazy. Yeah, which it's definitely it's got to be a budget thing. But
yeah, it would definitely be a budget constraint. But
you'd like to think they made a conscious effort to.
Yeah, but I'm so happy that
the
budget was constrained to that point where they couldn't do anything else, because it just makes it better. Because if I'd seen something, if you had shown me something, it would have been a disappointment.
Absolutely.
Because whatever I'm imagining in that moment is scaring me more than whatever you're going to show me.
Because it's whatever. Because it's always I can conjure up to fuck myself over.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm just trying to make sure it's still there. So I am quite glad of that. The fact that you never really see anything is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you can hear. The witch using Josh's voice.
Well, it could have been.
Or it was using
Josh. Yeah.
Either way,
they've taken him. Nice touch. The directors have taken him in the middle of the night and then made him like stand there with them and just scream out in pain.
Yeah.
And the other actors after didn't know he would. Well, they knew he'd been taken at that point. And they
I wonder if the actors knew that was going to happen.
I don't think so.
That's good then.
Yeah.
Really like that. The blood-filled rag with a tooth and with a tooth
tongue
in it.
And eye. I
thought at first all I could see was a blood-filled rag.
Yeah.
With potentially a tooth in it, and I was like, "That's quite rough," but it's not scream-worthy. And then I saw the rest of the stuff, which was like hair.
Definitely an eyeball in it.
And an eyeball, and I was like, "And I went, all right." Actually, that did make me gag.
Yeah, because if it's a tooth, I mean, that could be there for any fucking reason. But it's the middle of the woods. Who fucking knows? But for it to be
bunch of hair and an eye,
so like wet as well. So it's recent.
Yeah, it's absolutely
sopping
with blood.
So yeah, like, and I think
drenched.
Based on her reaction, she clearly knows what that is immediately, and she knows that's a warning.
I mean, I don't know. My reaction would be, what's in the fucking fuck?
Yeah.
And I would be massively shocked.
Very confused and shocked. But the way she reacts, she cries and breaks down. Like, she knows it's
something's
Josh.
She probably knows it's Josh.
But she doesn't necessarily know it's a witch. There's a fucking weird cult out there or something.
Either way.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it isn't the Blair Witch and it's like fucking clan members wanting to fuck you up.
Yeah.
I don't know, but either way, I'd be fucking losing my mind as well.
Mm.
Every time you can hear Josh in the distance as well, I think it's really horrible.
Yes, yeah, so fucking horrible.
Because
they're like, is that Josh? Even I know that's Josh. You can tell by his voice.
Yeah, that's obviously Josh. Mike going a little bit mad as well was good. when you can hear Josh's voice and then Mike sort of loses his mind quite
yeah.
a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Does he laugh or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Like just took no, in order
he's,
to deal
he's
with
just
it.
Clearly like cracking under the pressure.
Yeah.
And then they find the house.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got anything before that bit.
Well, just the fucking carnage of that tent scene before they all run out, which is a while back, but still just absolutely came me. No, I don't think I do. I'm just confused by all the slime.
Yeah. yeah, that as well. Inside the house is the creepiest bit, because the house is pretty creepy.
But I mean,
the
even
long
before
sequence,
that.
Like, as they get in there.
And, yeah, that's really good.
The whole sequence from outside the house, finding the house, outside the house, and then then up and down the stairs where they can hear Josh.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a horrible. Bit weird in there in terms of it becomes a bit of a labyrinth, but it does.
Yeah.
The great idea about that, doing it in the woods, that they're just going out around in a circle, like this witch has trapped their surroundings.
Yeah.
And, like, without them even knowing somehow, and it's just, like, directed them around and around.
I assume
that is
it
so is, fucking horrible.
Yeah, I assume it's that, yeah, all the witch was really doing is fucking with their compass.
Oh, that's possible.
So that it just ends up in a circle, and they spend all day walking, and it's just not the compass off enough, so that they think they're going south, but it ain't south.
Yeah, that's good. I like that idea. Yeah.
I assume that was all it was, because they just went in one big circle, and then, like, Heather goes, it's the same fucking log.
Yeah.
And just, like, breaks down in tears, because she realises they've just been walking for, like, 6 hours and ended up at the same log they were at this morning.
Those emotional moments are really good, just when they start to go a bit mad. But they do, and they do it perfectly in the fact that they ask questions you would probably ask at the time. Like, if that was Josh, he would have said something out in the distance. Yeah, but it's still a man screaming his fucking head off in the night, in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Still very concerning.
Yeah. Even whether if or not it's not Josh.
It's Josh, by the way. Ah!
Yeah. Even if it's not Josh.
Yeah. It's still horrible.
In fact, I think if it's not Josh, it's worse.
It's way worse. It's just some dude.
Just some other dude who's also caught out there.
Yeah. Oh, and before that, you get the apology scene, don't you?
Yeah.
Which is infamous and ruined by Scary Movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Her sort of...
All I'm still looking at is her nose.
Yeah. Which wasn't that snotty.
No.
She
poured
out
like a tap in a Scary Movie.
Her sort of crying into the camera and apologising to all of the... to the parents and things like that, and you know, this was my project and I'm the reason for, but
yeah,
I mean, the only bit true. Yeah, the only bit where I think why are both of them still shooting was in the house. They're in the house.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
They're going up and down, they're trying to find Josh.
All you want to do is find Josh. This isn't part
why
of the
are you still filming.
Yeah, maybe they were just, the cameras are just on at that point, they're not.
Yeah, because I think at one point Josh sort of calls Heather out for it and says, oh, I get why you're doing this.
Right.
Because it feels less real.
Oh, yeah, it's like a different camera. It's like a different dimension or whatever it says. It's like a lens over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that was quite a good touch. But in the house, I'm like, why the fuck are you still...
Yeah, maybe it is just the fact of this. They are just still recording and didn't thing to turn it off.
All I noticed was, Mike, why, how many times do you have to hear him from upstairs and also downstairs and then like all around the house before you realise that ain't Josh?
No, it ain't Josh. Something's
fucking with
mimicking
you.
Mimicking that voice. Yeah.
Good ending.
The ending, but
very
notoriously a problem for people.
I thought it was good to open for interpretation. There's nothing.
Maybe because we've got a lot of history on it now, like we've got 23 years of it since it's come out, and at the time people were pissed off with that movie. A lot of people thought it was real, like genuinely thought that happened, and yeah, so many people had a problem with the ending just in terms of how just done.
I love
didn't show her crawling about afterwards.
No,
didn't, was good.
Didn't show something attacking her.
Yeah.
She just came in, Mike was staring at the wall from way too close up, very unnatural looking.
Yeah.
She drops.
Which is like just subtly what they said at the beginning, that the witch, or something, was it the witch? She would kill children and make the other one stand with their face against the wall so they didn't see it.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So
It's just really good.
A really good show.
I like the ending.
I like that movie. I do. I like it. I like it.
I quite like it. Probably
it's a
not
solid
as much,
7.5 in terms of the film out of 10.
We'll get to the other score in a sec. Best performance?
Heather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all great.
Yeah.
But I think Heather.
Yeah, I close though. About the same. Yeah,
close.
Yeah,
it was close.
All fucking brilliant in it. Took that as an acting challenge like a fucking champ.
Yeah. I mean, I think you throw a lot of actors into that situation.
They crumble.
I think a lot would crumble, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and wouldn't give that level of performance. I thought it was quite...
No.
Shoot My Pants moment?
I would say it was maybe the first or second night around the tent when something is just running past them.
Okay.
When you can just hear, maybe when you hear children laughing. But the one where they're pressing against it is separate, so that's a different night. But yeah, that one, I remember first time I saw it really fucked me up. What about you?
I think just the end the drop. There wasn't too many like mega scary moments.
No. The ending for my worst shot.
Creepiest shot.
Yeah, creepiest shot is when she enters that room and he's just standing.
Yeah.
Facing the wall. Because in terms of shots, there's not a lot. It's more circumstances. What's the most terrifying part of this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one where they're snapping, where things are snapping in the woods, and they're trying to see in the dark.
But
maybe
as a single image, though, is there anything in it like
not
visually?
Really.
I don't think that is that.
I don't think anything visually was.
Which is why it works so well, probably.
Yeah, I mean, right. Well then, what was your score from 1 to Blair? Which pants should I wear? Because they all have shit in them.
I think I appreciated the approach to the movie more than I did the scares, so I would probably say about a 6 for scaring me.
Mm.
Yeah, no higher than that though. Maybe 6.5.
You've been a lot more generous than me.
Go on.
4.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't find it that scary, and it's dated a lot.
I don't know.
I mean, not in the sense of like the techniques, but I just think it looks quite.
Really?
Yeah, I think visually looked quite dated.
I think
it could have used some more actual scary bits, visually scary.
Maybe.
In terms of like making me jump, because mostly obviously it's just implications, and there's general creepiness about it, but nothing that made me. Like some things will sit with me afterwards for a bit, and this doesn't really.
I think when I had rewatched it, because
I might not make a documentary in the woods anytime soon, but
no. Well, I mean, like, maybe like 15 years ago when I first accidentally watched it or something, it would have really kind of, not accidentally, well, I think I was way old enough at 15 years ago. But yeah, it would have, would never have quite, I wouldn't have understood maybe the gravity of the situation as I'm watching it. And then when I watched it a year ago, so I counted it really as my first time, it did sit with me afterwards. I was sat there afterwards for a good 5 minutes, like... I think I've watched it really intensely
in
one
block. Do you
know
what I think this is? This is like Mungo reversed.
Yeah.
Mungo really
affected
me.
I think Mungo got you way more than Blair Witch got me though.
Yeah, Mungo
but yeah,
affected
right.
me, but didn't really affect you whatsoever. And then this is the reverse. I didn't find it that scary, but you obviously got a bit more scared by it than I did.
Yeah, I got cold watching certain moments of this movie.
Yeah, it just didn't grab me as much.
No, that's fair. I mean... It's what it is.
Yeah. Which is odd, because it's... supernatural stuff normally does.
Yeah, which shit definitely gets me, because it's just malicious.
Yeah.
There's no reason other than I
just
want to fuck with you.
Yeah,
yeah,
I just want to fuck you. It's similar to, like, Poltergeist and shit
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
Right, so our second film, our kind of lesser-known / foreign language, again, bit of both, this week, is 1988's Dutch film The Vanishing. Not strictly a horror.
Not whatsoever.
Not
it comes
really.
Up as horror on even what I was watching it on, but...
It's very loosely horror.
It's...
Very, very loosely. It's more of a psychological thriller, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But,
if anything. Adventure, road thriller.
I don't even know.
It's a road movie, this, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's part Dutch, part French.
Yeah.
Got remade about 5 years later for the US.
With Jeff Bridges and Costner?
Yeah,
or Bacon?
Kiefer. It was Kiefer Sutherland, isn't it?
Oh, and Jeff Bridges.
And Jeff Bridges, yeah. It's apparently crap, though.
Yeah, it looks fucking crap, but it's the same director.
Yeah, same director. Yeah, yeah. He just did it in English a few years later, but it's not shot for shot.
No.
He totally redid it with Jeff Bridges and Kiefer Sutherland. And yeah, apparently that one's shit, so I will be swerving that.
Is Jeff Bridges the
I think it's the
boyfriend? Or is it Psycho?
I think it might be the Psycho.
Fuck. I might watch that.
Apparently it's shit.
Yeah, I imagine it is.
Like, this was generally well received.
Fucking brilliant.
As a film, it was
unbelievable.
Great.
It had no right being made in 1988. Yeah. It was about 20 years ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was...
this was like Prisoners in the 80s.
It was really good.
Jesus.
And really well received, whereas the remake... Just apparently horrible.
Yeah, never heard of it. Didn't know it existed.
So, The Vanishing is the story of Rex and Saskia, who are in a relationship with each other and on a road trip from Holland through to France.
Yeah.
For just a holiday, I think. Mm-hmm. And early on, they're sort of in the car with each other.
So, like, the tunnel scene?
Yeah.
Is that a metaphor for something?
I don't know, because they repeated it at the end, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They repeated it at the end. I can't really tell you yet, because we've got to get to it.
Okay.
So they're driving along from Holland through to France. They run out of petrol at one point.
Mm-hmm. And are caught dead in the middle of a tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah, without petrol.
Without petrol, yeah. And... But for some reason, Rex hasn't got any.
Yeah.
So it has to go walking at night to go and find someone and leave Saskia behind.
But I thought that tunnel scene was quite terrifying.
Yeah, it was very jarring, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you can hear a truck coming immediately. Thank God it hears them. It will seize them. But then it's like anything could come up through. It became like really a tense. Fucking like Speed or something. I was like, Jesus, this would be a good film on its own.
Yeah, it was super tense. That was, and in reality, had nothing to do with the plot.
No. It's obviously just a good callback later on.
Yeah. Rex seemed a bit of a douche at the start as well.
Yeah, I ended up liking him.
Yeah, I ended up liking him. But at the beginning, when he's like having a bit of a pop at Saskia and he's leaving her behind and sort of smiling as she screams at him. He needs to stop doing that because Saskia was well out of his league.
he
just left her by the roadside.
It's just not good behaviour generally.
Yeah, I mean, don't be a dick
don't
generally.
Don't be a dick generally, yeah.
But she could do better even without your shitty personality. I'm glad I had subtitles on though, because swapping between Dutch and French was quite trippy.
Yes.
This is a very mixed language film and they swap quite seamlessly between Dutch and French.
If it had no subtitles, I don't understand what I would have thought this. Like, purely visually and without understanding the languages, I'd have been like, I don't know what I would have expected from that film.
Yeah. So The Vanishing really is about...
Sounds like a drama.
It's both about Rex and Saskia at the beginning, and then Rex. But it's also about a guy called Raymond, mm-hmm. who's a French guy, who is a family man, but also very evidently a sociopath.
Raving lunatic.
And quite early on, you see Rex and Saskia, they stop at a service station, or I think they stop in the town first, and Raymond is there.
Mm.
And he's got big old NHS glasses on, looking exactly like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
Exactly what I said.
And looking so conspicuous.
But that's the thing for me when I was watching this. It's structured unbelievably.
Yeah.
Like, it really dishes out the story in details, like, as you go. Like, from certain characters' perspectives. So when it showed him, I was like, that's an extra then. I didn't think anything of him. It's just showing that dude.
All I thought was... You look conspicuously creepy.
Yeah.
So I assumed he must have something to do with it. Creepy.
But I didn't clock onto it at all. I thought
the really good thing about it is it tells the story from both Rex's perspective and Raymond's almost equally, kind of like The Wire, but not. But also Dutch and French and about a serial killer.
Yeah.
But so Rex and Saskia stop off eventually at a service station, having a bit of a joke and a laugh with each other, have had an argument, but then sort of made up. And then Saskia goes to get some drinks and then just disappears.
Yeah. You see nothing of it.
Nothing of it at all. And Rex then, after about half an hour, is like, fuck is she?
Yeah.
Leaves a like little note on the car, and goes to look for her.
That
and
kind of moment made me like ache a little bit, because it was like, that is so much harder to do these days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you've got, in 1988, you've got fuck all resource to go and look for this person.
Yeah.
You can't get them by phone. That's it. Yeah. It's probably not a great amount of security.
You can't track them. No. Yeah, yeah. There's no CCTV, minimal, if anything.
You have to rely on people going, did you happen to see this woman through the thousands of people passing through this service station?
Yeah, because the woman at the till says, oh, yeah, yeah, I did see her. I saw her earlier. She was over by the coffee machine.
Yeah.
And he was like, was she alone? What did she buy? And she's like, motherfucker, we deal with 10,000 people a day through it.
You're lucky I recognise you. Yeah, you're lucky I
recognise her at all. let alone, oh, yeah, I know every detail about her. Hold on, let me get out my fucking sketchbook. Like, Jesus Christ, Rex. What are you expecting?
He talks to like the manager of the place, but all he has as any kind of clue is a picture he took of the service station as she's coming out.
Which is quite weird.
Yeah. Well, you see it at the end when it shows you her being led to the car. He's stood there taking the picture, but she doesn't clock him and he doesn't clock her.
No.
What?
I mean, it looks quite busy. There's a truck going past at the same time, like a sort of lorry going past at the same time.
He's outside the car, isn't he?
He's the other side of the car, yeah.
And she didn't think to look over to where the car was.
Yeah, but obviously she was off doing something else straight afterwards, so she was just sort of she was trying to get something for him, wasn't she? So
no, but I mean, as she's coming out of that thing, you'd think she knows where that car's situated.
Mm.
She would at least glance over to it. Yeah, like, wave. Right. I'm just gonna.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm just going off with this dude. Just going off with old Raimondo over here.
Weird.
There was quite a lot of Tour de France on the radio all the time.
Mm.
Was there some significance to that, at least?
It's a race. Race again? No. I tried. I'm not an arts major. Major.
Yeah, because it kept being on the radio all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And so you could always hear about it. I'm like, okay, you're in France, Tour de France, sure, but you got anything more?
Yeah.
That, the whole thing.
But I'm confused as to why he had so many ping pongs in his bag as well.
Was up with that?
So many ping pongs.
As he opens the door, about 40,000 ping pongs all flood out. Were you doing a prank on someone? You Mr. Bean? I don't get it. He looks really camp as well when he's looking for Saskia. It's a lot of like hand on the teapot. And you're going, where is she? Like Frank Spencer trying to find her. And also, Frank Spencer would definitely have that many ping pong balls.
Yeah, I mean, that's the oil mystery I want to get to, Rex. What's with the ping pong balls?
So it then sort of, he said to the guy at the petrol station that they have to find the guy in the Polaroid. Because
he believes
that person, which obviously it was.
Yes, he is, but Jesus.
But
not a lot to go on, mate.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Polaroid, a ropey picture from about 100 metres away. Like, what facial recognition do you reckon mate in the petrol station is going to be running on that?
But then it cuts to
Raymond and his family.
And it's like, it comes to a point where it's all like, how he interacts with his family. He seems like a fake but devoted father and husband. And it's just the point where he starts testing how long a certain amount of chloroform takes lasts.
Yeah, I mean, the family generally are fucking mental.
They're clueless.
The mum's expressions seem quite mad as well. Mm. Raymond's beard is the worst.
Yeah, it's very Limp Bizkit.
Oh my God, I hate his beard so much. It seems, at least from the outside, a little bit eccentric, but overall not that weird. The Scream
seems very boring as a person.
Yeah, and I think he's a teacher, like a science teacher or something. Nothing really about him. But there is this house that he has bought and is doing up as a like side project. That is an excuse for him to spend time outside.
In a city.
Yeah. He's very casual about fucking everything.
And it doesn't ever go into why, does it?
What, why he's so casual about
everything? Why he's doing this?
No, just that he's a sociopath.
Yeah, but there's no...
He sort of explains later on that quite early in his life he realised he was a sociopath.
Yes.
But it doesn't go into why. What's compelled him to do this specific thing?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, which I think I appreciate. Leave it more vague.
Yeah, leave it more vague. I don't know.
I'll fill in the gaps.
I do myself. Find like serial killers and things like that very interesting. But I do. But with this, I thought, do you know what? Yeah, I quite like that. It's quite vague.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't need the fucking psychology explained to me. It's just sinister.
Yeah, I didn't need to see like pictures of his mum and all
the nonchalance of it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's the terrifying.
He's part. So casual and so just matter of fact about everything. At one point, he's going along to the other house and he comes across a girl at the side of the road. And sort of stops. She's hitchhiking and stops and goes, "Oh, do you need a lift?" She said, "Yeah." "Oh, I've got a friend as well." And he's like, "Ah, yeah, you've tricked me. I'm not going to take you. Nice. I actually have the room for both of you, but I'm not going to because you're scam artists." When it's clear that he just wanted to kidnap her.
One. He wanted one on their own.
He wanted just her.
Yeah.
If she's with somebody else, no chance.
Yeah, I can't do my little claw.
And then immediately dropped off a ropey mattress at the house that he was doing up. Oh, God, that is so grim.
That's so dark.
Well,
there's a very light-hearted, while he's practicing, like, the car.
Yeah.
Like, getting around the car and letting them in. Locking their side of the door so he can get his arm around them to chloroform them. It's all like... very jaunty music.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's like a little montage.
Yeah.
But the montage is, I'm going to kill someone.
But it's almost
I'm going to take someone away.
I think it's quite respectful of your audience to do that because it is not. You're trusting that they can watch this and not just buy into the music and not quite take this fucking moment so seriously. It's so obvious how fucking miserable this film is.
Yeah.
It is hopeless.
It is hopeless and dark. And really, really horrible.
And its music doesn't cover that. It's glaringly obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't need
Hitchcockian music throughout the whole thing, though.
It was
very 80s, don't get me wrong. It was like Seinfeld slap bases sometimes.
Yeah, but it was still like...
still worked.
Yeah, it still... I think it worked even... yeah, it worked even better because... mm. It was so at odds with what was going on. Because when you're watching it, they're like, oh, it's all quite fun. But then it sort of dawns on you.
Yeah.
Hold on. He's practicing how to chloroform and take someone back to his horrendous abandoned house.
Arm movement so he can get them in a fucking headlock while he does it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And chloroformed himself and timed it to see how long he'd be out for.
Fucking psychopath.
Absolutely incredible. Then it sort of skips on. It's about 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And Rex is still looking for Saskia, obviously, because if you were with somebody in a relationship and they randomly go missing in France...
hard to get over.
I think,
especially in 3 years.
Hard to push past. Rex evidently has a girlfriend who's been with for about 8 months.
Yeah.
She alludes to that. He's obviously still looking for Saskia, but he is, also trying to reassure his girlfriend of 8 months. Oh no, I'm really into you.
Yeah.
If Saskia turned up, I'd still want to be with you, which is obviously a lie.
Yeah, it's a big fucking lie.
Yeah, although obviously
she seems well boring compared to Saskia.
Yeah, and somebody comes back after 3 years, you go, yeah, I'd obviously want to be with that person. That was who I was going to be with before.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you out of the circumstance of them being missing.
I'm with you purely because they're not here, which is horrible.
Horrible but true.
So they're sat, Rex is sat at a cafe talking to his girlfriend. Raymond's behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought him watching Rex at the cafe was great.
Out of focus.
Yeah.
It never goes in. It doesn't go, doesn't focus on it. Again, very respectful of an audience's intelligence. Yeah.
You can see it.
You can see it clearly. But a lesser movie would focus at the end once they've walked off, go, by the way, he's sat there the whole time. Yes, I know he is.
Yeah, I know he is. I can tell who that is, even at blur.
Yeah, exactly. And it's too much of a figure in the background.
Yeah.
Because he's not a small man. No. He's quite a unit.
Yeah, he is a bit of a unit, isn't he? I didn't understand. So, volleyball Rex coach. Is on a... Huh?
Is it the volleyball coach you're going to talk about?
No, I was going to talk about Rex at the computer.
Oh.
And you see Saskia's name.
Is that a hallucination?
Over and over again. Yeah, I didn't know.
Got it,
you know. I assumed it was him going mad.
Yeah.
Rather than Raymond fucking with him.
That would be very elaborate.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I can't imagine that's it. But yeah, I think it's him just... That's all he's thinking about. It's all he's thought about for 3 years. And it is driving him nuts. Which is why he even goes along with this fucking dude.
Yeah. What was the volleyball coach you were going to say?
So the volleyball coach talks to Raymond as if he knows what he's doing.
Oh, I did not get that. I didn't get it.
I can't quite... I've written down such a vague note because I was high as fuck watching this. But when this guy comes up to him and like almost talks about how he understands and what you're doing.
Mm.
And I was very confused. Like, how if he's that fucking obvious, that's a lot alarming for you, Raymond, first of all.
Yeah.
You should pick up on that. If people just come up to you and go, yeah, me too, buddy. Like, you're not being as subtle as you think you are. And two, that dude's just fine with it.
Yeah. You've got a lot of Raymond practicing as well, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Or not practicing necessarily, but trying to get other women. And it didn't work.
Yeah, like with the trailer.
Yeah, with the trailer, which is just like...
The detail of that is genius, where he, like, the guy, the American guy... Yeah, like, you're clearly trying to get my wife.
Yeah, he said to her, oh, can you help me with the trailer? I can't do it. I can't do it alone.
And it makes sense that he can't.
Yeah, and then it's he backs late. Up his car, and he's waiting for the woman to turn up, and then her husband turns up. Like, the husband just picks up the trailer and goes, right, you had no too light, there's no fucking reason why.
Which is why when he looks at a picture of himself with a broken arm as a kid, he goes, right, I need to be injured.
Yeah, that's the thing. Fuck me. The working out, it's almost like, it's a maths exam. It's like, no, you've got to show you're working. And it shows all of him working out. No, wait, I don't need to make this trailer heavier. I need to make myself weak.
Fuck me.
And then they'll trust me. It's incredible. The detail that somebody's thought up to make this kidnapping effectively convincing is brilliant.
And when you see...
the fact that they show him working his way through and going... That hasn't worked. Maybe I'll try something differently.
But you're nervous throughout each time because, and it's, you know, you have a bit of a self-examination watching this movie because you're like, why am I panicked while he's practicing? Am I panicked that he's going to get caught, or am I panicking because he's going to achieve this?
Yeah,
I'm panicking for the woman.
That's the thing. It shows him because going through all this stuff, and obviously, if you think about it properly, you go, oh my God, this is horribly dark, and he's going to fucking murder someone. But it's also playing it as he's a main character.
Yeah.
You almost, like...
Because of the structure of the movie.
Yeah, you accidentally root for him.
Until you go...
Briefly, and then you go, oh, wait, no, I shouldn't be rooting for this guy. This guy's an absolute creep.
Fool you into that a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Partly the jaunty music, partly the way that it's structured, and partly the fact that it focuses on him for such a long time.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's doing a DIY project. He's just trying to work out the best way to do something. Exactly. But what he's working out is how I can murder someone.
Kidnap and murder a woman.
It is such a jarring movie.
Yes.
So eventually Raymond catches up with Rex and says to him, I'm the guy you're looking for.
Do you want to know how I did it?
Yeah, do you want to know what happened to her?
Yeah. And he has to go through each step with him.
Yeah. Raymond they have a bit of a fight. It's the worst fight I've ever seen.
I don't know what was happening in there. You had a fucking exquisite movie, and instead you went like William Shatner fighting a Gorn. Like, it looked fucking ridiculous.
I mean, Rex punches like a sponge.
And in the shoulders.
Yeah.
Never hits his face.
No.
Always the shoulders. What yeah. Is this so you can avoid a lawsuit? What are you doing?
Hits him with the least power of anything I've ever seen.
Fucking weird.
It was so shit.
Left in.
Raymond gets him into the car. I was really expecting Raymond to chloroform Rex in the car. But he didn't. And then at one point he's talking him through, like, I was when I was 16, I realised I was a fucking weirdo. And needed to have some higher socks, and sort of jumped off of a balcony because I got up to the top of it, and where most people would have something told them, don't jump off of
it. He just did it.
He just did it, which was when he realised, oh, there's something not right about me, and he later found out that he's a sociopath.
Tell someone next time, dude. Jesus.
Yeah, just go.
I've got a problem.
I've got a problem. I think I'm a sociopath.
Yeah.
And there we go. Cool.
Does a sociopath have that much self realization? Like, can they just go, that's not right? Because surely that's against being a sociopath.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
Do you not identify that kind of behaviour?
I also thought Raymond was helping exactly no French stereotypes by being so smug all the time. God damn. I know you're a sociopath, but honestly, it's just making me think the worst of French people.
Well, he's trying. His character is trying. I know what you mean, but his character.
He was the only main French guy in it, and he's so smug.
But he's trying to be as charming around these people as possible, and he is smug because that's what like serial killers do, isn't it? They want to show you they're working and how they did something.
Yeah.
They want to show you their steps, how fucking genius they are.
Yeah.
Which is
aren't I all he's doing to Rex.
Yeah, they just want to brag about their fucking genius because it's such a, you know, isolating career choice.
So it takes you through where he takes Saskia.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole scene is pretty horrible. The whole sequence up to, so he tries it with one girl.
Yes.
It doesn't quite work out. He gets frustrated, goes back inside, comes across Saskia.
He says to Rex while telling this story, if I hadn't have sneezed, I think that's him being an unreliable narrator. I think he's lying in that moment.
Maybe.
Because maybe he does sneeze, but then he sniffs fucking chloroform. He's just put it on that rag.
Yeah, but I don't think it has an immediate effect.
Oh, does it not?
It
has to be held up against
it. It has to be held up, and you have to breathe it in quite a few times before it has a proper effect. And obviously he sneezed into it, and then he's like, well, I can't use that now.
Right,
I've just sneezed into the chloroform.
Oh, and that's why he's laughing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that makes way more sense.
Yeah, he sneezed into it and he's gone, for fuck's sake, I've just ruined this. I was about...
Right. So he does sneeze. I thought he had a panic attack.
No, I think...
Because he's checking his heart rate.
Yeah, he does. That's why I thought that. Yeah, he does. He sort of notes all that down as well.
So as he's about to... Yeah, well, at different times. And as he's about to get in the car, he starts going... But now I realise that's him sneezing.
Yeah, he was about to sneeze, sneezed into the rag, just put chloroform all over, and then obviously went, oh, for fuck's sake, I was going to use that.
I don't mind either, to be fair.
And then he comes across Saskia inside, who is trying to get a can of Coke and a beer from inside so that she can take it back to the Rex at the car. And it's where he then has a little R key ring.
Yes, and she wants to buy one.
She's like,
Rex.
I want to buy one for Rex, you know, my boyfriend Rex. And he's like, oh, well, I'm actually a salesman for these.
Yeah. Does he even have a box of them? Because he's going through a box.
It's so there's a scene slightly earlier where it's his birthday, and one of his presents is his wife gives him a box of tiles, which is part of the DIY project of the new house. Because to her, he's just going to do up this house and he's going to sell it on eventually. He has no interest in that whatsoever and is just using it as a base of operations for his creepiness.
Yeah. And uses that as a prop.
He's like, I'm just going for a box of key rings because he can just look into this box and she doesn't know.
Yeah.
There's sort of some clinking. Doesn't sound like key rings.
She sees his family photo.
Yeah, she sees his family photo. Like, he was like, I'll get in the car. And she's a bit like, fuck no, dude. And then she sees a picture of him with his wife and kids on the dashboard, and she's like, oh, okay, he's must be a nice family family man. I'm going to get in the car, and then he does it with the chloroform.
Yeah. That
harrowing.
That moment where he's chloroforming her bursts into tears.
That is absolutely harrowing.
I've never felt so fucking hopeless in years. It
is horrendous.
Like, it's such a tough just watch watching, after all that context.
Watching her face.
She does it.
She's incredible.
She does it so fucking well.
And I just think Raymond is one of the best serial killers of all time in films. He is so calm and then is trying to get rid of Rex as well, because he just keeps saying to him, well, you're going to have to come along with me and I'll show you what I did to her.
Yeah, and apparently what he did was bury her alive.
Yeah, so the ending is he makes Rex drink something that he says, look, I've stuck sleeping pills in this. I'm not trying to, I'm not going to trick you. I've stuck sleeping pills in this.
He wants her you've got to drink through it. Exactly what she did.
You've got to drink it, and then I'll show you. This is the way to get me to show you what I did to her. And then Rex wakes up inside a box where Raymond is buried in.
Yeah.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah, genuinely. And then he starts laughing when his lighter goes out and he can't get it back on.
Rex, realising that he's been stuck in a box underground, is just horrible.
Yeah, and then it just goes back to Raymond and his family.
Yeah.
Chilling.
He's just chilling. There's a newspaper where it said that both Rex and Saskia are missing now.
Yeah.
It's
not alarming.
And obviously everyone's wondering, but they won't go, oh, is that bloke in France with a family who has no connection to either one of them whatsoever? Nobody's going to suspect him. Nobody's ever going to find them.
No. And he's set up, he's married and had kids just as a cover.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
It's absolutely horrible. And if that, obviously that is what he did to Saskia, but that is horrendous in itself.
Yeah.
You don't see her, but all she had was, she got into a car with this guy, the guy held a rag over her face, and she woke up in a coffin.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Horrible. This is not shit my pants, this is dysentery until I die. Like, I'm fucking, that is such a hopeless movie.
Yeah. it's the thing is, it's not strictly a horror.
Not at all.
It's not scary in,
it's you a know, nihilistic thriller.
There are no scares in it, but it is scary in a way. It's terrifying in a sense. It's
emotionally terrifying.
Yeah. It's an emotional battery is what it is. I feel like I would have been abused.
Yeah, genuinely. Like, part of me wishes I never watched it.
Best performance.
It's going to have to be
what, Raymond?
Yeah.
I've got Rex.
It was between them two.
But Raymond's character is even better than his performance.
Yeah, that might be true.
Raymond's character is incredible. Raymond's performance is really good.
Rex's performance is
Rex's performance is great as well.
So, like, Saskia's not in it a lot. Like,
she's half, great in it as well, though.
An hour.
She's great. She's in
fucking
it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I don't mean there's anyone who's bad in it.
I didn't.
Maybe his wife.
Well, even that, like, it wasn't.
She's
like,
mad.
Yeah. yeah, she's fucking dumb as shit.
Yeah. I mean, she's also odd.
Or he's doing it very well at home.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, she is odd. but, yeah, no bad performances. This is going to be tough categories.
Shit my pants moment.
The chloroform scene.
I think that was my creepiest shot.
Shot for me would be the blur where he's in the background.
Big shout out to... But
potentially when you finally see the photo up close... or outside the service station, and you can clearly see, because you don't really get a good look of it until later on, I don't think.
Yeah.
But when you do, it's like, fuck me, that is horrendous. Actually, no, say what my creepiest shot is. At the end, when they're leaving the service station together, and you can see him 15 foot away taking the photo.
Yeah, but he doesn't realise she's there.
And she doesn't, or maybe she does, but...
And, you know, probably 2 minutes later, she's passed out in the car, and Raymond's driving away with her. I mean... Shit my pants moment for me was only because it's unexpected was Rex waking up in the box.
Yeah.
It's not jumpy scary.
No.
But it's rough.
It's rough to see.
I did not expect it. Uh-uh. I didn't expect the next shot immediately would be him waking up in a boxing ground.
But then I didn't think the next shot immediately would be Raymond just playing Happy Families, because that makes it even fucking worse. That makes it so hopeless.
Yeah, because
nothing went right.
Yeah, nothing went right. Nobody knows where Rex is. Nobody will ever know what happened to him and Saskia.
No.
Raymond will probably do it again. And the fact that Raymond enjoyed 3 years of torturing Rex.
Mm. Like seeing him on TV.
Loving it.
Mm.
And then went, I think I'm going to kill him as well, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He seems to be hot on the tail, but probably not ever going to find out it was Raymond. But yeah, just for a bit of a laugh, fuck him up too.
Score from one to Chloroform in My Pants?
So my scare score for Blair Witch was 6.5. So basing it around that kind of thing, probably exactly the same. For a no-scare film, the chloroform scene, what it did to me, jumps it up.
I mean, again, I'm
Kubrick was right about this movie.
The thing is, right, so, as a scare fest, in terms of me petrified, 2.5.
Yeah.
That scene alone fucked me. As a film, I'm putting it up there nearly a 10. I think it was fucking amazing.
It's a easy 9 for me.
Yeah. I'm putting it up there as close to a 10 as a lot of things I've seen. Movie. It is incredible. The way that it's put together.
For 1988, just the way it's paced, the way it's shot, some of the shots, they don't belong in 1988. Like the way it's moving around people.
The structure of the film is just amazing.
It's so unlike... Yeah, that's what I mean. It is like 20 years ahead of its time.
Structurally,
cinematography.
The acting, the plot, everything about it is just fucking amazing.
No right being in that decade.
Not at all.
Of like, overindulgence in terms of showing you too much or just being too much on screen. Like, this is a year before Die Hard, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Or it might be the same year.
Same year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
you know, you had Beetlejuice. You had... Coming to America that year.
There's a lot of movies.
Big.
Exactly. All these big fucking idea movies. And this just goes, you heard of Prisoners in 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to even more than that, 25 years. We're going to do that probably like just as good in terms of how fucking sinister this serial killer is.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and not amazingly, IMDb have it as the 18th highest rated movie from 1988.
It's one of the best movies from that fucking decade.
Best movies I've ever seen in my fucking life.
It was fucking brilliant.
It's 5 places behind Big.
Fucking hell. I mean, I like Big.
Big's fine.
But damn.
It's fine. I mean, it may be that it didn't get quite as many votes because not as many people have seen The Vanishing.
I mean, it is a Dutch-French movie.
Yes. It's a Dutch-French movie about a serial killer. Yeah. You definitely won't have quite as many people watching it. As a film, dreary, horrendous to watch, brilliant.
Yeah.
Fucking hopefully loved it.
Movies like that will drive people to watch more foreign movies because they are... obviously just as good as American and British ones that you've seen.
I mean, we have been, like, we're only, 15 weeks in, but we have been absolute treated to some foreign language bangers so far.
And they're, shocking. Around the world, they can make movies just as well, not even fucking better.
Yeah, this was a brilliant film. I'd watch it 15 times. It's fucking awesome.
Definitely.
I'll definitely watch it again. And I've already recommended it to 2 people. I think it's great. But not one to watch if you want any kind of happy ending.
No.
It's similar to...
My roommate and his girlfriend came in after I'd watched the chloroform scene. And, like, based on my reaction at that point, where I'm patting my eyes dry, they were like, that's not a recommendation to them. and fair enough.
I think it's a great recommendation, personally.
They came back from watching The Office, like American Office, and walked in on me watching that, and they were like, we're in a great mood a minute ago.
Don't watch this film, then. Yeah, this isn't one to put you in a good mood. It's similar to, like, things like Buried or, you know, Prisoners. It is dreary, and not dreary in a boring sense, but just in a you won't feel great afterwards sense, but fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are our two for this week. Big recommendations, not entirely scary.
No, but yeah, I think we just spent fucking 10 minutes just saying you should watch The Vanishing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. you definitely should.
Yeah.
If you didn't watch it before listening, fucking hell, watch it. It's just so good. It's
beautifully made.
So, next week, we have for our big budget, one that we've probably seen about five times, yeah. At least, which is 2010's Insidious. Which is a good horror with a lot of problems.
Good horror to a point.
Yeah, and that point is about an hour in.
Yeah.
and then I think a Shudder original, or at least a Shudder release original.
Was it Boy Behind the Door?
The Boy Behind the Door.
Which I've never heard of.
I don't know anything about other than... I vaguely know some of the plot, but not to a point with any spoilers.
I'm not holding out for much on that one, I'm going to be honest.
I think...
Going with an open mind, but still...
Yeah, I think it is a it's a Shudder original, which have been a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's hit and miss with those.
But when it hits,
mm.
some of those Shudder originals, genius. When they hit, are fucking great.
I don't know when if they Mungo miss, they're was. Not so great. I know Mungo was on Shudder. I don't know if it was a Shudder original.
I don't think it was, no.
But Terrified was.
Terrified was.
That wasn't...
It wasn't bad at all.
Wasn't bad. Yeah, there's loads on there, to be fair.
Yeah.
Host.
Host is on there. I don't think it was original a Shudder original.
They released it, though, I think.
Oh, I think that's similar to Boy Behind the Door, then.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so next week, Insidious and then Boy Behind the Door. But until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.